Hello. Hello. Loud and clear. Louder and clear. All right. Is everybody at Romans 15 yet? Why did God plan that that would happen? That Lower Borough Baptist Church would exist. Do we ever think about stuff like that? Do you think that it was some people a while ago got the great idea that it would be a good to have a Baptist church here in Lower Borough? Was it that God determined that he wanted something to come from this section of the universe? He wanted a place where he could bring his people in this area to achieve his purposes for them. We tend to look at God through our circumstances instead of looking at our circumstances through God. We tend to view God's goodness, his patience, his kindness, his blessings, his grace, his purposes through the things that we have going on in life. And we determine that if they're good things, then God is good, or he's being good towards us. We base how we view God by what we have going on, rather than viewing what we have going on through the truth of who God is and what he says is right. When God isn't responding how we want, and we view him through our circumstances, we start to think everything is going wrong. God must not love us. Why would God do something like this? We start to lose hope. We stop living by faith. We start living by sight. Our delight in God is based not on truth, but how we interpret his interactions with us. Make sense? Am I making sense? We tend to do that, don't we? Our hope then shifts from a biblical hope to a smaller hope. A hope only that God will change our circumstances. Our life becomes about from one circumstance to the next. And if God answers our prayers and gets us out of this bad circumstance, then we tend to love him more. Or if God blesses us and provides this good circumstance for us, then we tend to love him more. But if he doesn't, answer that prayer the way we're asking for it through our circumstances, then we start to question things. Start to wonder what's going on. Our faith gets rocked. We lose biblical hope. And when we lose biblical hope, the world starts to overwhelm us. We start to feel far from God. The things that happen in this life tend to toss us around. We start to look, or we stop looking at others as people to love for God. We start viewing them as obstacles to our happiness. The world created for God, a people saved to glorify God, to praise God, brought together to be a united people under this one roof, transforms into being just a bunch of people going through life circumstances together at the same time and at the same place. All our prayers are about circumstances that are going on in life. All of us with our different desires, our different opinions, our different viewpoints of what is important in life, what God should be doing, all of our different preferences on how things should be. And then when other people don't share our preferences, don't share our opinions, don't share our desires, what do we tend to do? We move on and we find ones that will. It's sad, really, isn't it? How do we get to the point? that point in life in church, God saves us, right? It's amazing. We tend to see him so clearly. All those not unimportant but lesser things seem to matter so little. We feel so close to God, and then life goes on. God doesn't change, but those things tend to matter more and more. The more we take our eyes off of God and what he's doing and why we're here, those lesser things tend to matter more and more until those things are so primary that we just can't function. How do we get back to the way things were? How do we get back to a place in our hearts, in our eyes, in the church, where Jesus is first again? How do we get back to that place of finding our joy in him? Not just saying that, but truly finding joy in Jesus. Delighted to read his word, delighted to read his words, delighted to share and hear the gospel, delighted to sing to him, delighted to pray to him, finding our joy in those things, seeing him work in the lives of others. That place where his plan matters more than our preferences. How do we flip the lens from viewing God through our eyes to understanding life through his eyes? He's made a way. In the world of the early church, the world that Paul writes to was filled with myriads of different people, different nations, different languages, different colors, different worship styles, different preferences, different challenges. And God brings them all together to be in one church. God made a way for them. For their focus not to be on all those things that tend to drive us apart, but for those unique things and those preferences to be what they bring to a place of his choosing for his purposes. In other words, God plans who will be at what churches for his purpose of being glorified through them there. That's why God brought each one of you here today. Part of this church instead of some other church. This unique blend of saints, of people who he's performed miracles in your life to make you his. And he brought us all together. Many of you from this area, some of us not from this area. All looking different, talking different, liking different things. Different interests, hobbies, preferences, opinions, all together to be a part of one family here together for one purpose, that together we have one voice that glorifies God. Unique from every other church in the world, one voice with all of us put together in harmony that glorifies God in the way that he wants to be glorified from this church. That's his plan. And you're all a part of it. A very important part of it. And that's what he's done throughout the history of the church. And that's what he's doing here. He brings unity. He brings harmony in our praise and our glorification of him. And he does it. He started with the early church. He does that with us. He starts with his word. His word. Not a bunch of people having different opinions on who God is, and what God's like, and how God should do. Because those opinions are endless, right? But you have his word. And we all gather together. And this is his word. And this is his truth. And it puts us all on the same page. That's why we stick to his word. That's why we cling to his word. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of opinions. If I never open this up, I'm just giving you some sinner's opinion of how things should be and what you should be doing. But we open his word, and we glean from it how things should be. He gives us his word. And he uses us to give us endurance in this life, encouragement in this life. And through that, he builds hope. Hope not in our preferences or that our circumstances will change, but hope in him. And then with all of us united with that same hope, that's how we gain that harmony of worship, that one voice that glorifies God. And that's why we're here at Lower Borough Baptist Church. It isn't about you. I love you. You're important. It's not about you. Right? It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And until we get that, until you get that, until you're heart is on fire for him through his word, church will be about you. And church will be about your preferences. And when the wrong preference meets the way we're doing things or what's going on, it'll eventually become too much for you and you'll move along to find some other place to where they meet your preferences. That's what happens. That happens with me. Happens with all of us. When our view of how things should be, instead of God's view of how things should be, is dominant, all it takes is the right circumstance for us to move along. Life will be about you. Life will be about your preferences and your wants. You'll be seeing God and everything and everyone through your circumstances. Why aren't they being this way towards me? Why aren't they doing this for me? Why are they such a problem for me? Ever been there? Right? We get there, don't we? Praise God for passages like today, but really all of his word that takes us off from staring at ourselves and puts our eyes up, not seeing what everybody else can do for me, but what God has called me to do for him. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live that way of everything being about me or viewing God through my circumstances. Not anymore, at least. God doesn't want us to live that way. He doesn't want us to live through our lenses. I don't want to live through viewing everything through James Clemens' eyes. Sinful ways of viewing things. Bad habits, ways that I've picked up over the years of viewing things and viewing people and viewing God. I want to switch that around. I want to live for what God wants me to live for his purposes. I want to stop living just to endure the things that I have going on. Does that make sense? We tend to get like that. We have this thing going on. It's a difficult thing. We pray to God for this difficult thing to be over. And then it's over and it ends until what? Till the next difficult thing comes going on. And then we lean into God for that and we pray for that. And that may last a little while or may last a long while. And all of our prayers and our focus and our relationship with God is based on that. And then that ends and then the next one comes. And it's just a life of enduring one thing to the other. That's not it. That's not why we're here. The purpose isn't just to go from one thing to another, viewing things through my lens, but to switch that around. I don't want to just get by, but I want to live with hope in what he has for me and his plans for me. This is Paul's message to the church in our text today. And you're like, wow, that was a long introduction. God wants us in harmonious, united worship. He does. It's all over the Bible. And to do that, we each individually must live by hope. The same hope. Not different hopes. The same hope. We must all have the same focus. We must all have the same end goal. And he has given his word to keep our eyes on the prize, to keep our focus, to unite us in that same end goal. So let's look at that now in Romans 15, 4 to 6, and see how his plan achieves that. Romans 15, 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So the word of God was given to us to be our lens, how to interpret the world and how to interpret our circumstances. This is a great difference between us and the rest of the world. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody interprets the things that are going on through that worldview. And we've been given the right one. Not that we come up with it on our own, not that we're smarter and we understand. God did all that work, saved us, and he has given us the key to how to view and how to understand the world. This is why I preach what we call expository. We want to expose what the Bible says, not impose my views upon the Bible. I don't interpret what it means based on how I understand the world. I interpret the world by what the Bible says. Paul says that through it, through the word of God, we gain endurance and encouragement that ultimately leads to hope. Endurance to get through the trials and the difficulties, to get through the hurts, to get through the hardships, to get through the pain, to get through the suffering in life. Encouragement to know that we are on the right track, to keep going, to not give up, that we are living how God wants us to live. And through the word moving in us in those ways, we gain hope. Hope in God's plan. Hope in eternity. Hope is not hope that our situation will improve. Okay? That is prosperity gospel. When my relationship with God, when my faith is just believing that God will heal me or fix the circumstances, that is a prosperity gospel. That is my relationship with God is only what he does for me in these circumstances. Hope is eternal. Hope says God's using these circumstances to do something in me that will bring an eternal reward or heighten my understanding and view and taste of that eternal reward. And hope says, I'm going to focus on that eternal reward. I'm going to trust God in these circumstances, in this sickness, in this illness, and all these hardships that are going on. Yes, we pray that it ends. It's not wrong to pray that those things end or that are over. But our focus is on that eternal reward. That's why James can say, consider it all joy, brothers, when you experience trials of various kinds. Why? Because those trials are doing something in you so that you have a greater focus and greater appreciation on the eternal reward. So that hope is not on hope of our circumstances, but on hope of eternity. It's faith in God's plan. It's focus on our eternal life with Jesus. It refocuses us to see our situation through God's lens. And God does that. God's word does that. And it gives us endurance then to keep going through the hard times because we know that God has a glorious plan. Right? He's got a plan for our church, for this world, for Christianity in general, for this country, for our church, for each one of you, through every circumstance that you got going on. Nothing is an accident. Nothing is a mistake on God's part. It's all a part of his plan. And we need to shift our focus from just the things we have going on in life to him. And say, these things are a part of a bigger plan, bigger purpose. Something's going on here. It gives us encouragement in our walk because we know it will lead to an eternal glory with God forever. But the point in verse 4 is that God designed Scripture to be that for us. So we must use it for that. We must turn to the Word of God to refocus us. We must turn to the Word of God to gain endurance in this life. We must turn to the Word of God to gain encouragement. We reason with each other, right? But when we rely on reason, what is that? That's just relying on the circumstances to change. But circumstances might not change. They might not. We get sick and we pray for healing, as we should, right? We get things going on with these bodies in this fallen world, and we pray for healing. But here's the sad, realistic truth. One day that prayer won't be answered. One day that thing that's causing an issue is going to be the thing that God uses to call you home. So when we know that, when we see that, then we got to say, okay, then it's bigger than this thing that I have going on. God's plan is bigger than the issues that I got going on in life. He uses those to draw us near to Him. He uses those to refocus us. He uses those to open up our hearts. He uses those to reach others. But He uses those to bring us to a place of worship and glorifying Him. Ask yourself, do I view God through the lens of my circumstances, or do I view them through God's lens? Do I view my circumstances through God's lens? So His Word builds endurance and encouragement, but as I said, endurance and encouragement are not the end goal. Look at verse 4 again. Often in life, especially, as I said, if we are viewing God through our lens, endurance and encouragement are the end goal. We just want to be lifted up. We just want to get through this. And then go on and do the things that we wanted to do. Paul points us to more here. Endurance and encouragement through the Word of God are the means to get us to something else. And they do two things in this passage. God uses them to bring us to that hope that trusts in His plan, that hopes in eternity over everything else going on in this world. And God uses endurance and encouragement to get us all individually to a place of harmony with one another in order that our unity brings glory to God. Do you see that in verse 5? May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. I hate running. Anybody else? Anybody love it? Amy's not here. She loves to run. I hated it in the military. I hate to run just to run. Right? Everybody's like, oh, it's so great for you. It doesn't feel like it. If I'm running a race, okay. There's a competition going on. If I'm running from a bear, okay. I'll run. Yeah, that's right. You do. You got to have a goal. There's got to be a purpose. Running just to run is foolish to me. When you go to God's Word for endurance or encouragement, don't let just the endurance and the encouragement be the end goal. Okay? Let them, once you gain that endurance, once you gain that encouragement, bring you to hope. As the Word says right here, hope in God. Hope in His plan. Hope in that eternal reward. Hope in forever with Jesus. He gave us the gospel, this glorious gospel. Each and every one of you were sinners. Everyone out there are sinners. We're still sinners. Sinned against God, deserve God's wrath. So with that, we have no hope. No hope. So everything should be about our circumstances. If we don't have Jesus, if we don't believe, then yeah, all the whole world is about us and our circumstances and the things that we have going on. But he changed that. He came and died and took the punishment for your sins on the cross. He lived the life that you should have lived, so that when you have faith in him, that punishment was for you and that life to live was counted as your righteousness. Now you're in right standing with God. Now life is about so much more than just the circumstances you have going on. And it switches so that those circumstances open your eyes to see that God is doing something. He's doing something out there. He's doing something in here. He's doing something in here all the time, constantly. And so our hope, our eyes are fixed on that then. We have hope. This isn't the end. Death is a promotion. It really is. I miss our brothers and sisters who aren't with us. Dare I say they don't miss us. It's a promotion. And one day that'll be you. And we'll be sad, but we'll be happy for you. If your hope is in Jesus, if that's where your hope is, we got to get there. We got to do the full circle in our faith. I've said this several times. We get convicted of sin and we get ashamed that we sinned against God and we look to the cross and we're thankful for that. But we got to remember that there was an empty tomb after that cross. And it brings us to a place of worship for Jesus, right? Everything, there's a circle to it that always points back to glorifying God. Same thing with the endurance. We go through suffering, we go through hardship, we go to the Word of God. It gives us endurance. It gives us encouragement not to just end there, but to give us to that hope to point us again to God. Everything comes back around to point us to God's glory. We each get to that place of hope through endurance, through encouragement alone, and then do we come together, and then as long as we have that shared hope. Now, if we come in here and your hope is in circumstances, or your hope is that one day we'll change the color of the carpet in this church, you're going to start getting upset, right? Because the harmony is not together. We got a different focus. And if my focus, if our focus is on Jesus, and your focus is that the fans are making it too cold in here, then you're always going to be focused on those things. And not focused on Jesus. And then one day, those things are going to be too much. So if we want harmony, we've all each individually have to be on that same page of hope. That's why we need each other, right? Because we drift. We wander. We all lose focus. We all start looking at our circumstances. And we got brothers and sisters to come along and point us back to Christ. Point us back to that shared hope. That's why we're in this together. Right? We're a team. We're a team. All of us. Shared hope unites. Verse 5. May God, the God of endurance and encouragement, grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. I love how Paul says that Scripture brings us to hope, and hope through endurance and encouragement in verse 4. And in verse 5, he refers to God as the God of endurance and encouragement. You're not just getting it, endurance and encouragement, by reading the facts of the Bible. You need the God of endurance and encouragement. It highlights the supernatural occurrence that endurance and encouragement are through the Word of God. And therefore, always there's always, I mean, the aspect where the knowledge and the truth of what we're reading gives us that encouragement and in that endurance, right? We read the Bible and we see something and it makes sense in our brains. We're struggling with something. We're anxious. We read Philippians 4, it says, don't be anxious, right? And it tells us, think of these things, right? And we start thinking, and we realize, oh yeah, if we start thinking about truth and the right things, then that'll take away our anxiety. The reasoning of the truth helps bring that encouragement and that hope. And that's true. And it makes complete sense, and we should always go to it. But many times, there's a supernatural aspect that's going on. Just being in the Word, God uses it to point you back to Him in a way maybe you weren't thinking of. Maybe you're going to it for one thing, and then God points something else out, and it takes your eyes off yourself, and it points you to Him, and you start getting encouraged. And you start enduring by a way you weren't expecting, that peace that surpasses understanding. That's supernatural. And that's what God does through His Word. He brings us to hope in that way. He does a supernatural work in each of us through His Word. Then He brings a fellowship of believers all to the same supernatural hope through shared endurance and encouragement. He brings us into harmony with each other by refocusing all of us on His purposes. How do you get a bunch of individuals with varying preferences and opinions and likes and dislikes in harmony? It can't be by all of us getting our own way, right? Because a lot of times our ways differ from each other. Then we got a problem. Then who gets their way? No, but if we all bring each other onto God's way, if God brings us onto His way, you unite them through Jesus Christ. You give them the same encouragement and endurance through the Word. You give them the same hope. You turn their eyes off of all the other lesser things, not unimportant. Don't misunderstand me that all the other things we should just dismiss and none of that matters. Important things. But God takes our eyes off of that and focuses all on Jesus. Think of fans in a sports stadium. All different, right? All look different. All come from all different parts of the area, the country, maybe even the world. They all come together. They're all cheering for one goal, for one purpose. All unique, all different, all different stuff going on in their lives. All their cheers sound different. Some of them are just this, you know, and some of them are screaming. All together for one purpose. That's what we are. One shared goal. The way that we get to the point of verse 6, which I'm about ready to read, is for all of us to be in harmony with that shared hope in Jesus. Verse 6. Well, let me read verse 5 again. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like endurance and encouragement aren't the end goal, hope and harmony aren't the end goal either. It's what the hope and the harmony produce. Harmony within the church in accord with Christ Jesus produces one voice. And that one voice glorifies God together. And that's why we're here. To glorify God together. And He does it through your harmony, your relationship, your unity together. If you don't think God cares about harmony and unity within the church, I want to see what version of the Bible you're reading. Because it's all over the place. He cares about unity. He cares that we get along in harmony with each other. This is our goal. Not get as many people in the seats as possible. Not prolific programs that, wow, that church has a lot of great programs. Not that those things aren't important. Not that our views or opinions, that we talk the same, that we dress the same. It's not our goal. We're here to worship. We're here to worship. Our worship and praise is our glorifying God together, that one voice in harmony of hope through endurance and encouragement in the Scripture. So it's not that the worship songs that we sing are unimportant. It's not that the carpet color is not important. I use that. I like the carpet. Don't get me wrong. It's not that our programs aren't important. It's not that the Bible version that we read out of isn't important. Or the books we promote, or what we wear, or the decorations, or anything else. If our value of those things and issues disrupts the harmony of the church, that one voice that glorifies God together, because our shared hope is no longer a shared hope, then those lesser things have become God things or gospel things to us, and we have elevated them to a place that God hasn't. And we must repent, and we must get back into the Word and get refocused on our hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, quick 4 application questions to ask yourself, to take with you. I gave you one already. Do I view God through the lens of my circumstances, or view my circumstances through God's lens? Second, are endurance and encouragement my end goals because I want an easy life, or are they means that God uses to bring me to hope in Jesus Christ? Third, do you value unity and harmony in the church the way that God does? We get so caught up on the right theology, which we should, but we end there. We forget, well, he kind of called us to love one another. That seemed to be important. He kind of talks about unity and harmony all the time. Do I value it the way God does? How am I contributing to the unity and the harmony of the church? Or vice versa? Or am I not? Am I causing issues? Last, if our harmony of hope brings glory to God, what must you reprioritize in your preferences to bring him glory in the church? I want you to be you. I want you to bring all of your experiences and your likes and your dislikes and your opinions, your preferences and all your weirdness. I want you to bring that to this church. I love that. Would you dress the way you like to dress and talk the way you God made you to talk? And you bring that to the church. But I also want you to take the things that God is putting on your heart and say, not dismiss them, not throw them away or ignore them, but say, where are they on my priority list here? Where are they? Is unity and harmony above that? The fact of the matter is that our lives are not our own. God planned for us to live them out together. We're stuck with each other by God's doing. Right? I think of people who aren't here. I think about them often. The things going on in their life, the things that we've prayed for, the things that we've cried for, the things that we've gone through together, the things that have distracted them so much that they chose. And that's okay. God has a plan for them in that. But my point is that you just don't, it doesn't work that way, that you just shut it off and now they're gone and we never think about those people, right? Same would be true if you left or I left or anything like that. God's carved a notch in our hearts for each other to stay there the rest of our lives. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. When one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. But we individually gain endurance and encouragement through the word of God that leads to hope. And then that collective hope worships. So let's pray that God revives each and every one of us to our salvation purpose of hope. He refixes each one of our eyes individually and collectively as a church, our eyes on Jesus. He reignites that hope in us, individually, collectively, and then with one voice, this church, Lower Burrell Baptist Church, in harmony with the Holy Spirit, according to Christ Jesus, in harmony with one another, glorifies God through our unity together. Amen? Let's pray. God, you know that unity and harmony are impossible without you. Absolutely impossible. So we need you individually. Each one of us needs you. Refocus our eyes, Lord, on our eternal hope. Help us to trust that those circumstances, the experiences, the things that we go through, good, bad, or indifferent, are all with a purpose, Lord. But that purpose isn't merely that we just get through them. Lord, that you are doing something, and keep our eyes on that hope of eternal glory with you, Lord God. And then collectively, make us a church of hope. Make us a church focused on Jesus. Make us a church that encourages each other, or helps each other endure through your word, God. But put all of our eyes on you. We know that's the way. Give us harmony in this church and unity. In your name we pray. Amen.